You're listening to a Peak Media Production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Thursday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is February 13th, and we had a ton of games in the NBA last night and a few more in the college ranks, so let's talk about it. So I wanted to start off with one of the featured games last night between Dallas and Golden State, and the Warriors were 7.5-point favorites coming into this one with the Mavs being so depleted, but Dallas pretty much led this one throughout, up until Steph just went on a tear in the fourth quarter, which led to a Golden State 102-101 lead with just about 3.5 minutes left. Kyrie had an incredible game of his own, though, and he was just hitting clutch basket after clutch basket down the stretch. And then he also took a massive charge with a 2-point lead in just about 17 seconds left, which essentially sealed the game for the Mavs. Super impressive bounce back game for them with all of the drama surrounding the Luka trade, and a lot of it was on the shoulders of Kyrie. So he finished with 42 on 60% shooting, and then Klay and Max Christie both added 17 as well. And that's actually Christie's sixth straight 15-point game, easily the longest streak of his career. He was a little bit buried on the roster with the Lakers. And so he had won his last game in LA right before the trade. And then he's had at least 15 in each of his five games with Dallas so far, if you're looking for a minimal bright spot from the trade. But looking at some of the other matchups last night, the Cavs had seven players score at least 12 points as they blew out the Raptors 131-108. The Celtics beat the Spurs 116-103 as Tatum and Porzingis combined for 61 on a night where they didn't have Drew Holiday or Jaylen Brown. Lauri Markkanen had a big game with 32 points as the Jazz beat the Lakers in Salt Lake City in Luka's second game since the trade. He had 16 on 6-for-13 shooting, and he even admitted after the game that he's still a little bit rusty after missing so much time with that injury. LeBron had 18 himself, also on 6-for-13 shooting in the losing effort. The Magic beat the depleted Hornets 102-86. The Pacers beat the Wizards in DC in overtime despite 42 from Jordan Poole. And then we just had a stretch of straight up wild performances in games, starting with the Knicks and the Hawks in the Garden. And so we'll start late in the fourth in this one where the Knicks were leading all the way down the stretch, but then just a litany of shots from both teams, and you had some turnovers here and there. Eventually, it all leads to two free throws from Trae Young to tie the game at 137-137. This is still in regulation, so crazy high score, but that sends us to overtime. And then in overtime, it was also back and forth the whole way, both teams scoring a lot. But Jalen Brunson hit a jumper with about 11 seconds left, and that gave the Knicks a 149-148 lead. And that would be the final in that one, definitely in one of the highest scoring games that we've seen so far this season. The Hawks had five guys score at least 20 points in the loss, which is crazy. And two of them were Caris LeVert and Niang, who just came over from the Cavs in the DeAndre Hunter trade. Sorry. And then Trae Young had a massive game for them. He had 38 and he had 19 assists. To score that many while still dishing out 19 assists is just crazy. But again, that was not enough for Atlanta. Cat had 15 straight points of his own for the Knicks in the second quarter, and he finished with 44 for his second straight 40-point game, while Jalen Brunson also chipped in 36, and he had 8 assists as well. Then Jamal Murray dropped a career-high 55 in the Nuggets' 132-121 win over the Blazers. And Jokic just had a casual, 26-point triple-double. And then to follow that, the Heat were blowing out the Thunder last night, and they even led by 21 at one point. But then OKC kind of came storming back, and they started the fourth quarter on a 24-point run. It was just 24-0 in the fourth quarter. And they eventually outscored the Heat 32-8 in the fourth there to end the game in just dominant fashion. It's scary how good they were down the stretch. And SGA, of course, led the way. He had 32 and 9 assists in the win. And then in some of the other games last night, KD and Zion both scored 30 points in losses to the Rockets and the Kings, respectively. The Pistons crushed the Bulls in Chicago 128-110. I think they've already doubled their win total from last year before the All-Star break, so a lot of props to them. And then the Bucks snuck out of Minneapolis with a win. They got 21 points off the bench from Gary Trent Jr. And then to wrap up the NBA scoreboard, the Nets beat the Sixers 100-96 at home, as Philly is now an extremely underwhelming 20-34 on the season with what a lot of people thought was going to be, you know, a great roster and a contender coming into this year. But anyway, in other NBA news, the Kings signed former number one overall pick Markelle Fultz just to add some depth at point guard after they traded De'Aaron Fox last week. And then just to quickly transition into some college hoops. So in some of the notable games last night, St. John's was on a 9-game winning streak coming into their game against Villanova last night, but they were upset 73-71 thanks to a go-ahead three from Tyler Perkins with just 8 seconds left. And then Duke improved to 21-3 with a 21-point win over Cal while getting 27 from the freshman phenom Cooper Flagg. In other news, just like the Brandon Ingram deal that we talked about the other day in the NBA, but over in the MLB, Alex Bregman signed a 3-year, $120 million deal with the Red Sox yesterday. And then in some college football news, Ohio State officially agreed to a deal with former Patriots DC and Lions head coach Matt Patricia to become their new defensive coordinator after Jim Knowles left for the Penn State defensive coordinator job earlier this offseason. And there seems to be a lot of mixed reviews on this hire, but my first main reaction is that this feels like the right move for both parties, at least. It kind of reminds me of Saban bringing in a lot of high-profile names, you know, over the past decade, you know, who had been available for one reason or another. But basically to help Bama win in the short term, but also kind of revive those guys' careers in the long term. And it feels like a little bit of a risk for OSU, but also, you know, a chance for high reward for both those guys. You know, Patricia, he'll get to coach in the spotlight for one of the premier programs in the country. And then OSU is getting a guy with a ton of, you know, high level experience that can help, you know, take what will be a really young defense to the next level. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, slow sports night, so not a super long episode today. But anyway, with that, we'll just about wrap it up for this Thursday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for joining us. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars if you're listening to the podcast version, or subscribing over on YouTube. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.